The message that's on my heart is something that I have spoken on this relatively recently, and it's something that the Lord kept bringing back to my heart time and time again. I've tried to see with the Lord if he has something else, but he brought me back to this, and it's not just a sermon for me. This is not just something that has been put together, but it comes from real experience. So may be a blessing to you as well. I want to speak on something about how sometimes in life we end up in a place which you might be in right now. I don't know each of your circumstances, but you might feel like in a place where life has turned out in a way that you didn't expect, and you are where you are today in a place that's where you might feel like you have been forgotten. You might feel like God doesn't hear. And you might be in this place. It's not an easy place to be. And to top it all off, it might be a time where this season of life has been prolonged. It's gotten longer. And there's no end in sight. Well, there's good news, because there's a character in the Bible that felt all of these things. And it's been such an encouragement for my heart. And her name is Hannah. It's a woman named Hannah. I want to focus on three things that I've noticed in reading her story, the story of Hannah. Three things. How her story began. Her story began in a state of bitterness. A state of bitterness. And then her bitterness led her to, thankfully, to a state of earnestness, a state of earnestness. And finally, her earnestness led her, or brought her, to a place of blessedness, a place of blessedness. And so bitterness, her earnestness, and finally her blessedness. And I want each one to walk out of here encouraged today. And so let's turn to read about Hannah, the story, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, please. 1 Samuel and chapter 1. It says, verse 1, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jorohim, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives, and the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Penina, or Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, or a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the door of the temple of the Lord. Verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. So Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. In verse 24, And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here and praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. May God bless the reading of his precious word to us. So this is a very encouraging story, how it begins and how it ends. You think of how, just so we can understand the situation of this story, Hannah was a woman in Israel, and she was married to a man named Elkanah. And Elkanah was a devout man. Some people say he was a priest. He was a devout man. He went yearly to sacrifice to the place where the central place of worship was in Israel at that time, which was in Shiloh. He went yearly to worship there. So he was a very devoted man. He was a good man. And he had 2 wives, Hannah and Peninnah. But there's a big difference. We think of there in verse 2. It says, Peninnah had children. And here it is, but Hannah had no children. We think of how the scripture brings that out, but Hannah had no children. Now for us in our day, there could be women, it might not be too much to us in our day when we think of this. There can be people that don't even desire to have children. There are some that want to have children, but it's not a big deal. It's not looked upon as a stigma. But back in that day, this was a real thing for a woman to go through. It was a stigma attached to being barren, to a woman that wasn't able to bear children. It was seen as often as divine punishment, as it were a curse, as a curse upon a woman. And also of God withholding favor. God withholding favor upon something that's so prized, that was so cherished by people. But it felt like God was withholding favor as people looked upon a woman that was barren. And often that would have caused deep emotional distress to the person, no doubt, in that culture. And then she could be viewed as a failure. Because of the main duty of a wife or a woman back then was often to bear children. So we think of other examples in Scripture where this was a very real thing and a difficult thing for women. We think of Sarah back in the Old Testament. We think of how Sarah and Rachel, both of them, were women that were barren. And both women took matters into their own hands because of this stigma that was attached to it. And both of them, like we think of the woman Hagar, which Sarah took and became And through Hagar was Ishmael that was born, and all the troubles of Israel. And we think of Rachel and Bilhah, her handmaid. So we think of how women tried to get out of this state of and both of them the Lord heard. And we can read the scriptures. There is Sarah and Rachel. But it was a stigma that was attached to it. It was a very difficult situation for the people, for a woman at that time. So with that background knowledge of this stigma attached to it, you can see how Hannah here, how she was a woman that was, it says she had no children. And in verse 5, it says, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So to make matters worse, it's like God is against me. It's the Lord that has shut up her womb. It says that explicitly here. The Lord had shut up her womb. So Hannah was in a distressed position here. She was in a place that you can see the longing of her heart. It's not an easy place for her to be in, this place of barrenness. But not only that, to make matters worse, here's another woman in the same house, married to her husband, two women, and this woman provoked her, as it were, took a jab at her for this very reason. It says in verse there, it says she provoked her sorely, severely, to make her fret, to make her miserable. So she has an adversary as well. It's not only is it to be barren, which is by itself a terrible place for her to be, hard for her, but there's a woman, there's an adversary in her home who provokes her on this very sore spot. And a woman that seems to have everything together does that on her, against her. On top of it all, there is also a husband there who misunderstands her. We think of this, no doubt he's a good man, Elkanah. When you read it here, he's a spiritual man. He's a man that was a devoted man. He was a fair man, but he was a man that was no doubt could have been frustrated. Here he is. He thought he showed all his love to her. He did all that he could. He's not in control of her barrenness, but he did what he could. He was a good man, Elkanah. And so it says he loved her. He loved his wife. Even though she had this infertility, he loved her. And he gave her a double portion. He gave her a double portion. Even though he gave Peninnah and her children a portion, each of her children and Peninnah, he gave Hannah a double portion. He loved Hannah. And so he says to her, why are you grieved? Am I not worth more to you or better to you than 10 sons? Why is it such a big deal to you? Is my love, you can see, he's just like, he's not understanding really her position, how difficult this stigma is to her. It's a very hard place that she is in. But then you might say, here's the thing. That by itself, all of those ingredients makes it for a very distressing situation for a person, for a woman. Put yourself in her shoes, all of these things. She is a woman that is barren, which is difficult for a woman at that day. She is a woman that is provoked by someone else. Someone's sticking jabs at her and causing it a sore spot, right on the sore spot. And she's misunderstood. She's misunderstood by people around. To make matters, I think the hardest part is the time span. That's what jumps out to you here, the time span. If it's 6 months or a few months, it's one thing. And you might say, well, if it continues longer than that, it gets a little bit harder. One year is fine. But it says here, what does it say here? So it was year by year, year by year. We don't know how many years this was. But it was year by year, it says. And so, same situation she's in, the same pain, the same distress, and it doesn't seem like it's changing, never changing. Year by year, the same thing happens. Therefore, this woman is in a state of bitterness, in a state of her bitterness, and it is a hard place for her to be. No children, people provoking her, being misunderstood. The nightmare seemed to never end for her. She was in bitterness, verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul. So how does this apply to us? And that's really where my heart lies. And how does this apply to you and to me? This is a real emotion this woman went through. Often there's a stigma attached to people being in this state of bitterness, of soul. It's a real emotion that can be felt by circumstances having not turned out the way you thought they would. And emotions are emotions that I have felt in a very real way. And you look at others. And this is for you. This is, like I said at the beginning, this is not something that for me is just a sermon put together, because it wasn't. This is something that for me has been a real experience. And I want to maybe share a wee bit about that later, just a little bit. You think of others. You look around and others are blessed. This is the picture here as well. Others are blessed, but you feel forgotten. You've been forgotten. Others seem to, like Penina here, they live a perfect life. Things fall in place for them. Yet you are stuck, left behind in a place where you don't want to be. It's not a place you thought that you would be. Nor is it a place that you would hoped that you would be in. Yet that's the reality is, that's where you are today. That's where you find yourself right now. The reality is, that is the place that you're in now. And you might say, well, I've trusted the Lord. I've trusted him though. I've not tried to take matters in my own hands as much as I've tried. Yet here I am, and I'm left in this place. Well, it's difficult. And when others are putting to that sore spot that you might be feeling, and they're not making it easier for you, it's difficult. It's hard. It's hard when it's real. When life, this is real life we're dealing with. This is real experiences of people. And it feels worse than all is when it feels like God is against you. That is the hardest thing. We don't know the plans of God. And here, it was the Lord. Verse 5, the Lord shut up her womb. The Lord shut up her womb. So it feels like people are against you and you feel misunderstood. And the worst part is, I think, is the season never ends. Year by year, this continues. And you're in the same situation today as you were last year. And the year before, in this difficult place that you find yourself today. And as we know, as time goes on, the once robust, optimistic faith that you had, I'm going to trust the Lord. I have a verse from God. I'm holding on to it. I'm clinging to it. Yet, you start off strong, but time goes on. Years go on, you're still in the same place as you were then. It's taxing, it wears on the person, it wears you down, and nothing changes. Will God come through for you yet, you might say? You don't even pray like you used to, you know? It's taking its toll on you, this situation, this state that Hannah is in here, this bitterness of soul that she's in. I felt this, and maybe you have felt this as well. I want this to be an encouraging message for you today. There's characters in the Bible as well that have felt this. We think of Job. We think of a man named Job. This isn't something that is altogether unique. This is, in God's word, this is a thing that God puts upon people, puts his trials, puts them into trials that they cannot get out. We think of Job. At the beginning, Job was strong in faith. Look at those marvelous words that have been echoed through time, where he says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked will I return. He says, the Lord gave, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, he is strong in faith. He is blessing the Lord. As time goes on, we think a few chapters later, think of this. He says, therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. And he says, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And then as it goes on, a few more chapters, it says, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I tell you, this is not, well, let's not be hard on people who are in this state, who've come into this place of a, where this is not going away and they're feeling the pain. It's easy to say, just get over it. But the person is feeling it very strongly. The problem is, it can become, instead of getting better, you've heard that statement, bitter or better. It can either become bitter or better. Well, a trial is not meant for us to be bitter and to remain bitter, as you will see. Really, it is to purify us. It is to mold us. It is to shape us like Christ, to be like the Son of God. That's the ultimate purpose of God. It takes a lot of things sometimes to make us like Him, like the Great One, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And you can either become bitter or better. Bitterness is understandable in these situations. It is understandable here. But you don't want to remain there. You don't want to remain in this state and wallow in this state. Instead of needing the circumstances to make you better, they're able to make us better, the circumstances, not bitter. And we think of Hannah here. It's an amazing story. Even there, the trials that are meant for this, Peter even says there in 1 Peter, his view on trials, that's the view. It's almost a positive view. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, It might not be forever. It's for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through various trials, manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to forget. There'll be honor and praise and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. But thankfully, Hannah did not remain bitter. She did not remain bitter in this place. What does Hannah do next? What's the antidote to this? Well, that leads me to our next point, her earnestness. She was earnest. You might say, how was she earnest? Well, Hannah could have stayed at home year by year. She could have just been like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this. I keep being provoked. I keep being discouraged and being trodden under time and time again, year by year. I can't be bothered anymore. That could have been the case. Yet, what does she do? Verse 10, it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. She wept sore. Her earnestness. She was a woman. Further on in verse 11, it says, look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid. Don't forget me. That's the worst part, is to feel like she's been forgotten. Remember what I said earlier? You might feel like you are forgotten. You are forgotten. And she says, that's her prayer to the Lord. Remember me. Do not forget me. Others, you it seems like you're hearing others' prayers, but remember me. Remember me. And she refused to give in to this. This was a difficult thing for her. She was going to pour it out. Weep sore, it says. It says in verse 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. How amazing. God heard her voice when she was crying there. Even Eli did not even hear her. He took her for a drunken woman. He didn't even recognize her state, this woman in a sorrowful condition. And she was misunderstood by him as well. And she cried to the Lord understood her. Her cry was unto the God. God knew her circumstances. God knew her heart, though others may not have. And in verse 15, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Note the earnestness. She's just letting it all out, casting everything of her heart to the Lord. In verse 16, it says, out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, she has spoken. She has cried out. She has laid it bare before God. So instead of bitterness, that soul, that state of bitterness of soul, she sought the Lord. She poured out her heart, everything to God, and cast all her cares upon him. What about us? What about you? Think of this. It's so easy to drown. Don't drown in a sea of bitterness, bitterness of soul. Pour out your heart to him. He is a God that is so gracious. His heart is so tender towards you. It is impossible. In Hebrews it says for him not to be touched with the feeling of your weakness, of your infirmities, that the feelings of your heart, he is touched. His heart is touched. He knows what you're going through. He knows the state that you're in. Think of David. David there in the cave. I love the Psalms. The Psalms are full of pouring out your heart to God, laying it all out to him. The bandages, as they say of the Psalms, they are bandages for broken hearts. They are those that they make you feel so, they invite you to just bear out your heart. It's here in the scriptures. You can read it. It's amazing. There in Psalm 142, David says, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him my trouble. My spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knewest my path. So sometimes it takes that. It takes a place where you're at a breaking point. You cannot go on. And so here, that's what happened to Hannah. She was at her breaking point. She didn't even eat before. She was in such a condition that she was in that she just left home. As Elkanah was saying, am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? She's like, that's it. She's had enough. She goes to the house, she goes to Shiloh, to the place where Eli was, and she bears it all out before the Lord. She seeks the Lord. And she gets a promise. It says, you think of Eli promised her as a child. It says, and she said, and Eli promised her this child, or that the Lord will hear her complaint. May God hear your complaint. And in verse 18, and she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. Now she's eating, and her countenance was no more sad. Now, this is something that is very precious when that happens to a soul that has been in that state. So for me, it's something that was quite a number of years ago. It was a difficulty in my life that seemed to carry on. And I was in this place where I felt that God had forgotten me. And others didn't know this. Others didn't know this was happening at all. But you can tend to look at others. You can tend to see that things are going well for others. And things are falling into place for others. And you can think, but I've trusted the Lord in this regard or that regard, whatever it may be for you. And yet, you're in the same place, same time year after year after year after year. And you can get to the state of bitterness. When you're trusting the Lord, you put things into his hands. You're committing yourself to him for him to work things out in your life, whatever it looks like. But because we're humans, we can get to a place when the expectation of time goes by, it can be very, very difficult. And this happened with me. I remember I came to this place where Hannah was, where my prayer life wasn't where it was. My once optimistic faith in the ways that I thought God was going to answer me wasn't what it was. And I was in a pretty bad situation, actually. And I was in bitterness of soul. I think that's the best way to describe it, in a bitterness of soul. And I could have been going down a path of bitterness and just wallowing in it and really becoming nothing for God and really not really trusting Him anymore. But by God's grace, He brought me to this portion. I was in my back deck, actually, it was like a number of years ago. And it was a real moment. It was very real. I was brought to this place where I'd been carrying this for a while, and it just came to a breaking point. And I read these verses, and she was in bitterness of soul. It was at that very moment I read it and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore, and that's exactly what I did. I just wept it out before the Lord. And I can tell you, the days following weren't the same as they were before. The Lord did something wonderful in me, just the acceptance of whatever He's going to answer and however He was going to answer. I knew that time that God had heard me. And that's the biggest thing that I needed to know, is that God has remembered me. I didn't know how He was going to answer or whatever He was going to do. I was at peace with whatever He will do. But it was just crying it all out before the Lord. And He did a change in my heart at that time. And I wasn't the same after in that way. And that's just a personal story. And I've never actually shared this or never spoken on this or never thought about this till recently, where it came to my heart again. And God has, in different ways, answered my prayers. Very remarkably, actually. So a quick recap here. She began in bitterness, which led her to earnestness, earnest prayer. And her earnest prayers, God heard, God remembered her, led her to a place of blessedness. She was blessed. It says there, we read those verses, verse 19 and 20. And they rose up in the early morning early, and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house, to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." And the name Samuel means asked of God, heard of God. That's a blessed place. But before that, she had a time where she prayed it through, where she had faith. It says she was no more sad. Even before the answer came, she was in a state where her heart was content. Because she was earnest, she laid it out before the Lord. And the Lord, in return, He blessed her. He heard her prayer. It's not forever. It's amazing to think about this. And then later on, in verse 26 and 27, it says, "And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here." She's saying this to Eli, "praying unto the Lord, for this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I have asked of him." And if we think of chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters." What a turnaround for Hannah, her state of blessedness. If we think of the first prayer that she had, the first prayer in verse 10, it says, how she was in bitterness of soul, the first prayer, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now turn to the second chapter here, just one page over, the second chapter. It says, look at the second time that Hannah prayed. Look at her blessedness. It says, verse 1, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. Notice this, so that the barren has borne seven, and she that hath many children, think of Peninnah, no doubt you remember Peninnah, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth, the Lord maketh alive, and he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Out of the heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Just so precious to think of that prayer that Hannah had, a second prayer, a prayer of blessedness. It's just such a difference. Before, she was a woman of bitterness, a bitterness of soul, but she did not end there. She did not end with a bitter soul. She was a woman. It's just so wonderful to think that we have a scripture here from God's word that we can read from such a hopeless situation that she seemed to be in, but she has a God. A woman that was in bitterness, she was a woman that was not even eating, likely she could have been depressed. She was weeping, she was crying out to God, and it can change to a story of hope, a story of joy and blessedness. And that is so like our God. That is so, he is not going to turn his face, you might think, forever. That brass heaven that you might feel isn't going to be there forever. It's only there to try us sometimes for a season. It's just so wonderful to know that we don't have to stay bitter in this place. And she sought the Lord, and he remembered her. So whatever your situation is, and you know your situation better than anyone, you might have those feelings of emotion that are bitter emotions today. Bring it before the Lord like Hannah did. Lay it all out before him. Remember that God's delays often are not his denials. He is not a God that is unsympathetic, uncompassionate. We think there in James, that wonderful verse in the book of James, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the perseverance of Job and have seen the end intended of the Lord." And I love this. Get the heart of God. The Lord is very compassionate and of tender mercy. Though you might feel like you've been forgotten of him, far from it. Far from it. Remember, God has not forgotten you. From this story, Hannah felt that way. Year by year, this has been going on. She felt this way. But she is not forgotten by God. So just to kind of finish it off, I think of this thing here. I want to read a quote that I just read recently, a few words from George Mueller. He once wrote, he says, he's quoting the verse from Psalm 42, "For I will yet praise him." He says, "More prayer, more exercising of our faith, and more patient waiting leads to blessings, abundant blessings. I have found it to be true 100 times, many 100 times, and therefore I continually say to myself, put your hope in God, put your hope in God." We think of this thing here as well, this verse. I have a verse here for encouragement. If you are feeling bitter today and your circumstances, I want this to be a real encouragement to you, just from the Word of God. There's this verse that often has encouraged me. Psalm 42, verse 5, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope thou in God." That's the answer. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet. Think of Hannah. I shall, in the state that she was in, she was downcast. She was in a downcast position. But she praised, "I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him." And he deserves our praise. There's just one other poem that I've enjoyed as well. Of just God, he is a God that loves to, he has the key for our life, the purpose that we don't know, and it can turn out to be absolutely amazing, God's purposes. They are past finding out. And when you think you've been forgotten, and you realize God has not forgotten you, and then he works things in your life that are remarkable, doesn't always do it, he might not do it right away, might not do it, there's no real promise, but he can. That's the God that he is. And he can bless you far more than you've ever, ever imagined. It's tremendous. That's the God. That's our God. That God is compassionate. And here is, I just want to read this quote here. It's not a quote, it's a poem. It's an anonymous poem that I've enjoyed. It says, "Is there some problem in your life to solve? Some passage seeming full of mystery? God knows, who brings the hidden things to light. He keeps the key. Is there some door closed by the Father's hand, which widely opened you and you had hoped to see? Trust God and wait, for when he shuts the door, he keeps the key." You can open it again. "Is there some earnest prayer unanswered yet, or answered not as you had thought it would be? God will make clear his purpose by and by. He keeps the key. Have patience with your patient God, all wise, all knowing, no long terror he, and of the door of all thy future life, he keeps the key. Unfailing comfort, sweet and blessed rest, to know of every door he keeps the key, that he at last, when just as he sees best, will give it thee." May God bless these thoughts to your heart.